Zooms, I don't know if you can see behind me, we have the latest in laser display technology projection. We have our love it or hate it ometer. So over here we have the love it side, over here we have the hate it side. And we're going to think about whether we love things or hate them. So let's just get kind of warmed up with kind of big thumbs up, a big smiley face for love it, big thumbs down, big grumpy face for hate it. All right, first one, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. I'm asking about views on royalty. Just what do we think of the Queen? Yes. Yeah. You'd be quite brave in the year of her platinum jubilee to say you didn't love the Queen. Right over here. We love the Queen. She's great. Okay. Let's do another one. Is my, sorry, I messed up my microphone. There we go. What about COVID and lockdown? Put it back in the middle. What do we reckon? Love it, hate it, or big thumbs down? Yep, there we go. Big thumbs down. Right over here. So over here, hate it. That is the side of, I want it off the face of the earth. I don't want it ever, ever to come back again. I don't want anything to do with it. All right, let's do another one. Let's do a controversial one. All right, let's risk it. It's a bit risky. What about snow? Love it, hate it. Ooh, lots of thumbs up, lots of thumbs down. There might be a slight age thing going on here. Really, I mean, this is tricky. So we kind of need to split the love it, hate it almost both ways, because some people love it, some people hate it. Let's go for the classic one. What about Marmite? Oh, overwhelming thumbs down, but there are some strange people who like it. Yeah, okay, look. Yeah, interesting. We kind of need to be at both sides at the same time again, don't we? There's always one person who ruins this, my point whenever I do this. And he says, yeah, I don't mind Marmite. Yeah, I can't take it. It was Dave Nixon at 9 o'clock. There'll be someone here who's doing it again. But most people, we love it or we hate it. Yeah, the advert got it just right. Well, here's the question, and I think it might have occurred to you before. What about Jesus? See, if Jesus is as wonderful as Christians think he is, why are there so many people who don't like him, who hate him, or at best just think he's a bit meh? Why do some people think Jesus is the most amazing person ever and some people hate him? And as we look at the life of Joseph, should I just go to the rifle, Mike? Is that easier? Yeah, okay, I'll turn this off. Sorry. There we go. If Jesus is so wonderful, we meet Joseph, who is also a Marmite saviour. People loved him and they hated him. There was no fence to sit on, like the Lord Jesus. And there's no place for saying, I don't really care, you know, one way or the other. It doesn't matter very much. We've got to come to a decision. Do we love him or hate him? And the first thing I want us to see this morning from our reading in our passage in Genesis 37 is that the Father loves the Son. The Father loves the Son. So we're thinking this morning about someone called Jacob. He had 12 sons. His youngest was called Benjamin. He was quite little. And he had 10 other sons who were a complete waste of space. They were awful. They were horrible men. They were violent. Their desires were just out of control. Their appetites were out of control. And he had one other son who was different, a favorite son, a son who was responsible, a son of integrity, a good son, whom his father adored. He was the son of his favorite wife, Rachel. And the Bible doesn't condone favoritism. It doesn't say it was a good idea, but there were reasons why Jacob loved Joseph, his son. So Kay has very kindly agreed to read for us. So could we have Genesis chapter 37, 1-4? If you want to follow it in the church Bibles, it's page 41.
So Genesis chapter 37, starting at verse 1. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him.
Okay, thank you very much, Kate. I didn't warn you about this. You just another job as well. And could you just hold Joseph for us? So Joseph is here in his richly ornamented robe. So we got Joseph in his richly ornamented robe, he is his father's favorite. Now, his father, as far as his father's concerned, Joseph is over here on the lovedometer. Where do you think his brothers would have him? So if we have it, how about we have it? It's in the middle. Which do we hear that? How's it going? It's going this way, isn't it? It's very definitely going this way. We might think they hate him as much as they possibly could, but we're not there yet. We have read they hated him and they couldn't speak a kind word to him. Now, Joseph then has some dreams. And these dreams are slightly strange because this generation of Abraham's family is different. All the other generations, there was only one son who would inherit the promises, Isaac rather than Ishmael, Jacob, not Esau. Here, all 12 of these sons were going to be made into a nation, one kingdom, united together. And the question in this book is, how can these 12 brothers who hate one another be united? And here comes the dream that gives the answer. Joseph had a dream. Oh, sorry, where are we going? Verse 5. Okay, are you happy to read verses 5 to 11 for us?
Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of corn out in the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose up and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered round mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind.
Okay, thank you very much. So this is not the story of Joseph and his amazing technicolored coat. This is the story of Joseph and his brothers. And that word brothers comes 21 times in the chapter. How are these brothers going to be united? They're going to be united in worship of Joseph. That's the language of bowing down before him. Do you think his brothers like the sound of that? No, I don't think so. So we read verse 8. They hated him all the more. Boys, how would you feel if you were told you were going to worship one of your younger brothers? You wouldn't be going home yet. They're going to keep them forever again. Verse 8. So we have these brothers who are hating, absolutely hate their little brother Joseph. Now, the big thing I want us to see, we've got two things this morning. The first thing I want us to see from these verses is just that the father loves the son. The father loves the son. That was there in verse 3. Israel loved Joseph. My question is, have you seen that the father loves the son? Jacob loves his son Joseph. But that phrase, "the father loves the son," comes from Jesus' life. It's from John chapter 5. And my question is, have you seen how much the father, God the Father, loves Jesus, his son? Before the creation of the world, God the Father adored his son at his baptism. At Jesus' baptism, a voice came from heaven like a giant finger pointing at Jesus saying, "This is my son, you are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." It was like a giant finger saying, out of all the billions of people in the world who've ever lived, sorry, Zoomers, can you see that? This one, Jesus, he's my favorite. He's the special one. He's the one who's different. Same with the transfiguration. "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." Have we seen how much the father loves the son? I'll try and put the link in the email this week to a clip from the Olympics in 2012, where this South African swimmer had just won a gold medal in the pool. Has anyone seen this clip? Claire Balding's interviewing his father afterwards. And he's just going, "Look at my son. Look at my son. Isn't he beautiful? Look at my beautiful boy." And there's a sense in which we can imagine Jacob saying that about Joseph. And on a cosmic scale, a far bigger scale, God the Father saying, look at Jesus, look at my beautiful boy. I love him. This is my son whom I love. So the Father loves the Son. And the God's plan for all of creation is that his people will be united in worship around his Son. And we've got a little bit more thinking to do about this chapter in a minute. We have seen that the Father loves the Son. The Father loves the Son. But second thing we need to see this morning is that he who does not know the Son, he who does not honour the Son, does not honour the Father who sent him. So I'm going to put this back. This had to move so that people on this side could see the screen. So if we put that back. We're back to our love it or hate it-ometer. What do the brothers make of Joseph? We're going to find out what happened next. And to understand this next bit, we need to know Jacob's family were really into sheep. They were kind of shepherds. That was their job. Kay, could we read verses 12 to 18, please?
Now his brothers had gone to graze their father's flocks near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, as you know, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem. Come, I'm going to send you to them. Very well, he replied. So he said to him, go and see if all is well with your brothers and with the flocks, and bring word back to me. Then he sent him off from the valley of Hebron. When Joseph arrived at Shechem, a man found him wandering around in the fields and asked him, what are you looking for? He replied, I'm looking for my brothers. Can you tell me where they are grazing their flocks? They've moved on from here, the man answered. I heard them say, let's go to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him.
Thank you. Okay, so Joseph is out looking for his brothers. He's really committed to finding them. That's a 60-mile walk from Shechem to Dothan. Shechem is quite a dangerous place for Joseph's brothers because they killed a whole load of people there. So Jacob's Jacob was understandably worried about them. Joseph goes to look for them. And as he's looking for them, they find him. They see him coming in his coat of many colours or long flappy sleeves or whatever it was. And as he gets closer and closer, they decide what they're going to do with him. They come up with a scheme. What are they going to do? Did we hear that? They want to kill him. So we are now right over on the extreme end of the hate-it-ometer. This is the way we feel about COVID. They want him gone from the face of the earth. They don't want him in their lives anymore. They don't want him around. They just want to get rid of him. So let's find out what happens next. Kay, would you be right to read 19 to 22 for us, please?
Here comes that dreamer, they said to each other. Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams. When Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hands. Let's not take his life, he said. Don't shed any blood. Throw him into this cistern here in the desert, but don't lay a hand on him. Reuben said this to rescue him from them and take him back to his father.
So what's happened? They've seen Joseph coming. And they're ready to kill him. And Reuben says, don't kill him. Don't kill him. What we're going to do instead is we're going to throw him into a cistern, into a well, into a pit. Let's not actually get blood on our hands. We're not going to kill him ourselves. We'll throw him into a pit and we'll just see how long he lasts. So I could take Joseph there. So Joseph has his robes taken off him. So just slow this down and think through what's happening. This is the son who all his life has been adored and loved by his father, who is the special one, who knows he has a bright, glorious future ahead of him. He is protected by his father's love. And in a moment, that all comes crashing down. We can imagine Joseph crying out, can't we? Guys, what are you doing? That's my coat. That's the coat that gave me. What are you doing? And as he gets thrown down into the cistern, imagine the cries, the gasps, the blood maybe from the fight, from the fall, the crunch as he hits the ground. And in that moment, he suddenly realizes he has no future at all. He's in this cistern. He is going to be left there to die. And in this chapter, Joseph is silent. We discover in chapter 43, he's pleading. He's begging with his brothers to let him out. Say, please, please don't leave me here. And they laugh. And let's see what they do next. Kay, would you mind reading verses 25 to 28 for us, please?
Not 23.
23 to 28. Thank you.
So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the richly ornamented robe he was wearing, and they took him and threw him into the cistern. Now the cistern was empty. There was no water in it. As they sat down to eat their meal, they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. Their camels were loaded with spices, balm, and myrrh, and they were on their way to take them down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood." His brothers agreed. So when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt.
Thanks, Kay. Isn't that awful? It's not really an improvement, is it? I mean, there's still at the extreme end of the hatometer, isn't it? Whether you kill someone or you kidnap them and sell them into slavery, either way, you are taking their life from them, aren't you? You're getting rid of them. And this way, they've made a little profit out of it as well. And their conscience is clean. They haven't got his blood on their hands. It is an appalling, appalling thing to do. But they have got one problem, which is, what on earth are they going to tell Dad? So, Kate, could we have verses 29 to 36, please?
When Reuben returned to the cistern and saw that Joseph was not there, he tore his clothes. He went back to his brothers and said, "The boy isn't there. Where can I turn now?" Then they got Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, and dipped the robe in the blood. They took the ornamented robe back to their father and said, "We found this. Examine it to see whether it is your son's robe." He recognized it and said, "It is my son's robe. Some ferocious animal has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and daughters came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. "No," he said, "in mourning will I go down to the grave to my son." So his father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so the brothers have got a problem. They've got to work out what are they going to say to their dad? And they've got a cunning plan. So they get Joseph's robe and they get a load of goat's blood. Matthew, thank you for lending me your dressing gown. So they get the blood all over the dressing gown, all over this amazing coat, and they take it to Dad and they say, "Dad, we've just found this and it looks a bit familiar to us. We think we've seen it before somewhere. Can you recognize it?" And at that moment, Jacob is a broken man. So there was a day many years before where he had tricked his father with a goat and some clothing. And he doesn't recognize the same thing is being done to him. He thinks Joseph is dead, and he knows in his heart he will never have another day's happiness in his life. And what a miserable family to be part of. You've got these brothers coming, trying to comfort Dad because Dad is so upset, and it's the grief that they have caused him. And this lie is now gnawing away at the very heart of family life. Although, of course, actually, it's not technically a lie, is it? Mr. Putin would be very proud. They haven't actually told him anything that's untrue. It's just misinformation. They've just shown him things that are leading him in the opposite direction to the truth. They look, and they could probably say to themselves, "We're good sons. We haven't lied to our father. We're good sons. We were out in the field doing what our father wanted us to. We're good sons." They're not, are they? They were out in the fields doing the father's work, but they didn't share the father's hearts. They hated the son that the father loved. They are there behind the mask, refusing to honor the son that the father sent. They couldn't go up to Jacob and say, "Dear darling daddy Jacob, oh, I love you so much," with any sincerity, while in their hearts they hated the son that the father loved. And what is the punchline? I think it is John chapter 5, verses 20 to 23. Jesus says, "The Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. But just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life," and we'll see Joseph, what it looks like for Joseph to return from the dead in a little bit, in a few weeks' time, God willing. But just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he's pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Can you see how Joseph and Jesus are so similar? They're both precious, righteous sons of the Father, both hated. Both hated by their brothers. For Jesus, it was the chief priests, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin. Why did they hate him? Because they envied him. They wanted what he had. They didn't want him to have it. They conspired together to kill him. Of course, they didn't do it themselves. Like Joseph's brothers, they handed him over to the Gentiles. Not this time for 20 pieces of silver, but for 30. That's inflation over 1,600 years. As Jesus was silent, as Joseph was silent in this chapter, Jesus was silent before his attackers. And on a much bigger scale, just as God was going to use Joseph to save the world through the suffering he'd gone through, he was going to do the same through Jesus. But we're getting ahead of ourselves here. So the one big application from this morning is that when God the Father looks at human beings, he divides us in two straight down the middle by asking one question, which is, do you love the Son? Do you love Jesus or do you hate him? Do you honor him or dishonor him? There is no scope for staying in the middle. We will either love Jesus or hate him. He is a Marmite savior. We will be at one end or the other. And the question comes to us in this complicated world where so many things are in a shade of gray. This is a black and white question. Do we love Jesus or do we hate him? Because by nature, we are all like the brothers. But we have this mask of looking like good sons, but inside, by nature, there is a madness in human hearts that hates Jesus. What is the wonder of what God is doing in the world today is he is gathering a people around worshiping his beloved Son. And so what's the application? If we push it a little bit further, if you love Jesus, it's just a lovely thought. If you love Jesus, if you are in Christ, Jesus' status is yours. Can you imagine Jacob hugging Joseph as he goes to bed as a little boy, and just how much he adored him as he said goodnight to him? Well, that love is just a tiny scale model of the love with which God the Father loves Jesus and with which he loves you if you are in him. That is the love the Father has for all of his people. And alongside that, of course, if people hate Jesus, well, there will be a hostility to you as well. It's a passage for people pleasers like me. I'm the kind of person who just wants everyone to like me. Genesis chapter 37 says that's not possible. Humanity is ultimately will be divided in two between those who love Jesus and those who hate him. Those who hate the Son of the Father and those who love him as the Father does. Let's pray that we'll be united as a church family in love for Jesus. Amen.